So I want to have a look at a passage from the Bible in a book called Isaiah. Now, for those of you who aren't that, you know, au fait with the Bible, the Bible is a big book made up of lots of little books. It's actually more like a library of books. And the book I want to look at is called Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was actually a man, and he was a man who we call a prophet. And prophets were people, and still are people, who are very good at hearing God. Very, very good at hearing what he wants to say to his people and passing that message on. So Isaiah was a man who listened to God and passed his message on to the people who followed him at the time. And at the time, those people lived in Israel. They were Jews. And they lived at a time when there were lots of threats coming from other countries around them. There was Persian Empire kept coming in and trying to take over. A Babylonian Empire kept coming in. The Assyrians kept coming. There was all this stuff going on. And actually, the book of Isaiah is full of all these different messages from God, all these prophecies. And you can almost split the book into three parts. And the first part is talking to the people of Israel, God's people, whilst they were still in Jerusalem, still in their own land of Judah and Israel, okay? But they're not really living God's way in any shape or form. Their kings are all over the place, the people are all over the place, they're not serving God as God would have. And so the first part of Isaiah is written to those people, saying, you need to sort your life out. It's effectively what it's saying. God is great. God is good. You are not following him very well. And if you keep going like this, it's likely that the world is going to go very wrong for you. Okay? And historically, we know no one listened, and the world went really, really wrong for them. And they got taken into exile. So the Babylonian Empire did overcome Israel, marched, killed lots of people, marched everybody else off to Babylon. So now they're living in this completely different land, where people worship different gods, they speak different languages, they do not respect these new people who have come in, and it's difficult. But then, so the next part of this book of Isaiah speaks to those people in the place where they are and promises them that God still knows them. God still has a plan for them, that this isn't forever, that it's only going to last 70 years. And so there are people who were living in Israel who followed God, who get there, and some of them are just like, well, God, if God was real, he would never have let this happen. And they kind of lose God, and they lose their relationship with him. But there are some who say, no, God warned us of this. It's like we made this happen. We're the ones who made this happen. And they hold on to this promise. So that after 70 years, when new things start to happen around them, they go, ah, this is what God promised. God promised that he would restore us to our land. So the last part of this book is written to those people. Because those people hold on to God's promise, continue to follow him, continue to live life the way that he would like, and they get to return a massive, long, and slow journey back to their homeland, back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. And when they get there, it's not all quite as rosy as they might have liked, because their temple has been burnt to the ground and looted, and their cities have been destroyed and torn down. So they're back home, but it's not quite the glorious, wonderful time that they expected. There's a new empire going on. It's the Persian Empire now. And actually, this empire is a little bit different. It's not all dictatorial and you must follow this god and worship this statue. And it's very different. It's a bit more, perhaps, like we've got today, where it goes, all religions are fine. All religions lead to one God. All religions are okay. And then God's people don't really know how to do their life in that place. And that's where we come to this passage, because this passage is written in that last bit, to these people who have survived being marched off into exile, who've survived living in a foreign land, who've survived holding on to who God is, and who've come back to not quite what they expected. So it's into that that we're going to discover what arise and shine means to those people over 2,000 years ago and what it might mean to us today. So this is God speaking to those people. As for me, this is God speaking, this is my covenant with them. Covenant just means like super promise, okay? So as for me, this is my promise to them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. And God is reassuring them. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter how dark everything seems around you. It doesn't matter that my temple has been destroyed. It doesn't matter that the city is lying in ruins. I am still your God. I am still with you. My spirit is still with you. You will never forget me. Your children will remember me. I will remember them for ever. It's this massive reassurance to God's people that he is there, that he loves them, and that he is never going anywhere. And then he moves on. And it's almost as if he goes, right, and with that in mind, listen to this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And God is moving from this kind of like comforting reassurance that he is still God, that he still loves them, that is never going to change, into a call to be something different. You see, arise is about getting up from bed. It's about getting up from slumber. It's about saying, don't just sit there feeling sorry for yourself. Don't just sit there thinking, oh, isn't the world terrible all around us? Isn't it awful that actually my life isn't as perfect as I think it should be? That actually, you know, my plans have all gone awry. Get up. Shine. For the light has come. Because the thing is, the light was never about the people themselves. They're not the light. We aren't the light. We don't have to be the light. We don't have to somehow manufacture the light. The light's God. And what God is saying to his people then is, be my lamp, be my lantern. Let my light shine through you. But to do that, you've got to get up. You've got to arise. You've got to allow my light to shine through you. It's not just for you, this light, that I love you, that I will always be with you. This is for everyone. And when you rise, and when you start living life the way that I have told you to, the way that reflects everything that I am, well then, actually, nations will come to your light and kingdoms to the brightness of your dawn. When you live life like I live life, when you live lives that reflect who I am in all of my gloriousness, then you're just going to draw people to you. And kings will come, and people will come, and you won't recognize what happens around you. It's this comfort and challenge at once that God is just so brilliant at doing. You're okay, I'm with you. My spirit's on you, you're not alone. Now get up and go. You get the comfort, and then you get the challenge. And it's important for us to sit and go, well, that was great, because 2,500 years ago, you can understand the people of God might have needed that challenge. But what does that mean to us today? You see, Isaiah is sometimes referred to as the Prince of Prophets, because there were lots. And sometimes he's referred to as the Prince of Prophets because some people think perhaps he actually was a prince. But it's mostly because he just had this most incredible way of doing this. That actually this whole of his book is full of such depths that I can't even begin to go into this morning. But actually one of the things that's wonderful about Isaiah's prophecies and his words from God is that they often have multiple applications. So that he was speaking to people in Israel 2,500 years ago. But he was also looking further forward. He was also looking forward to talk about Jesus. When he says, your light has come, that's about them going home, but it's also about the fact that the real light of the world is coming. It's about Jesus coming. And then actually, there's always this like third thing for Isaiah where he speaks forward and it still means something for us today. What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us to be a lantern for God's light in our world? For Worthing, for our community. See, this is a story about Israel, it's a story about Jesus, but it's a story about us and our town and our community and our workplace and our home and our neighbours. And actually, it's something that sits right at the heart of who Maybridge is. You see, we have a heritage of light in Maybridge. We have this lovely, beautiful history of a man called Dick Richardson. His parents clearly couldn't think past calling someone Richard Richardson, needed a new first name. But Dick Richardson, who was taking a stroll through a building estate that was just being built, and who was obedient enough to God to be able to hear God say to him, do you know what, this place is going to need a church. This place is going to need a lantern for my light. This place is going to need some people to show my light to the people who move into these houses that aren't even built yet. Dick Richardson was a man with enough courage to say, well, I don't know that I could do this by myself, but if God wants me to do it, he'll give me the power and he'll give me the ability to do it. And so he began Maybridge Church. And Maybridge Church started in a little tin hut down the road. And that's where it began. And it began and it began affecting its community and reaching out. And actually, we as a church have this vision to not just be an ever-growing church with an ever-bigger building, because that doesn't mean anything whatsoever. But we have a vision to be a church that casts God's light further and further and further. to be able to reach and transform more and more and more of our community, to touch more and more people's lives, to be able to start reaching into all different places so that we can take that light of God and share it with more and more and more people, to transform our whole town. You see, the reality is that our light has come in a way that the people that first read Isaiah's words would never have been able to imagine. Our light has come. 2,000 years ago, our light came. He called himself the light of the world. This is Jesus that we're talking about. In John 8, 12 to 14, he says, I am the light of the world. And it was Jesus saying, when Isaiah was talking about that back then, that was me. I am the light of the world. I am the Son of God. I am the light that needs to shine through each of you. I am the one that can cast out darkness. I am the one who can change everything. It's Jesus. So our light has come. We need to know that actually wherever that light shines, things change. Transformation happens. We need to know that when it enters politics, and actually politics starts acting in a whole different way, that actually it makes people more generous, it makes communities more wholesome, it makes workplaces healthier. The good news of Jesus changes everything. Our light has come, and it's good news. And then it comes to us. You see, we are culture makers. Now, whether you like to believe that or not, it's true. Whether you're intentional about it or not, it's true. Wherever we go, whatever we say, whatever we do, whatever we don't do, whatever we don't say, affects the atmosphere around us, affects the culture around us. Whether we choose to stand up to bullying in a workplace or somebody who's gossiping, or whether we don't, we help to set the culture around us. It's who we are. You see, we're created in the image of God. And so we carry this power within us, even if we don't like it, even if we don't even realize it. Wherever we go, everything is affected by the things we do and that we don't do. And it's important to hold on to that and to remember and to think, well, what kind of culture do I want to create? What kind of atmosphere do I want to make possible? Do I want to influence? How do I want to do that? How are my actions and my thoughts and my words going to influence the people around me? Because you see, when you start to put all these three things together, the fact that actually God's called us to let his light that came 2,000 years ago to shine through us, to draw the nations to us, we start to see the most incredible possibility come to us. You see, if enough of us were to take those two words seriously, arise and shine, if enough of us were to do that, imagine what we could do. If enough of us were to take those two words seriously and to stop seeing church as something that we do if we feel like it on a Sunday, if enough of us were able to take those two words seriously enough to go, actually, it's not just about Sunday. It's not just about turning up on the good days or when I think that my favourite person's speaking or they're going to sing the songs that I like. But actually, I'm going to go to church because it matters to me, because every week I go and it helps to build my faith and it helps me to build my relationship with God and with other people who follow him. If enough of us say, actually, and everything that I learn on that Sunday and in the small group that I go to in the middle of the week, if enough of us were to get to the point where actually we go, it's beyond that, it's beyond that. It's about living our lives in complete sacrifice. It's about living lives of extravagant generosity, of extravagant hospitality. If enough of us said, actually, we're going to be culture changers, that we're going to let God's light shine through our lives in everything that we do, that we will stand up when we see that something's wrong, that we will step in when we see someone needs help, that we will be that listening ear that people need, and that actually the words of advice that they want to. If enough of us do that, if enough of us live lives that are totally different to the culture around us, imagine what could change. Imagine what could happen in Worthing. Imagine what could happen in the towns and the cities beyond that. In our road, in our home, in our workplace, in our school, university, or wherever it is that we go. Just imagine. Like, perceived wisdom has it that if you can reach 15% of a population as a group, so say we were able to get to a place where 15% of Worthing attended, like didn't just attend church, but totally was sold out for Jesus, then that's enough. That's a tipping point. That's the point at which you're able to completely transform culture, to be able to step in to transform politics and what's going on in the council, what's happening in education and what's happening, you know, fighting injustice. That actually that 15% is critical, that it changes everything. What if we had that as a goal, to go, actually, this church, this town at the moment has got decreasing numbers of churches, decreasing numbers of people following Jesus. Actually, we're going to reverse that. We're going to increase that. We're going to partner with churches who believe the same thing as us, because there's plenty of them out there. And we're going to go all out to change this town by getting more and more people to follow Jesus and to do it with all their heart. But there's something that matters in the middle of all of this. You see, there's a great big story going on. It's been going on since the dawn of time, since God first made the world and chose to put people in it and then created a rescue plan in Jesus. Great big story. But there are some critical characters in it. My children have got science exams going on, and we've been looking at various different things. And as a mathematician as well, I know this, that there's two that often we look at things and we say that some things are constant and some things are variable. And constants are the things that never change, and variables are the things that can change everything or, you know, wreck everything or make everything. And actually, when we look at this story of God and the vision that he has to change the world and to rescue the world, there are two constants. You see, the world around us is just there, and it needs God, and it needs us to love them, and it needs us to step in and be culture changers. So the world is constant, and God is constant. The Bible tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the light, he is the light, he'll always be the light. The variable is us. We're the variable. We're the one that has to make a choice as to whether or not we're in or not. Do we want to be part of this great big story? Do we want to find our role in the narrative to discover what part do we play? What can I do? How can I be in? What can I do? What can I do if I just let God work through me? What could I do if I chose to partner with this church and say, together we could change the world. Together we could do anything. Together we could transform this community and this town. We're the variable. And it's an incredible gift from God that we get to be a variable, that we get the choice. But it is a choice. It's not something that we can just bimble through life hoping that everything goes the right way. It's a choice. And today, I'm actually going to ask you to make it. You see, I think that we all need a bigger vision. We need a bigger vision as a church to be more than just a bigger building, to be more than just more people. But it's about being a network of congregations, creating community for the poor and the marginalized, welcoming everybody so that whoever walks through our door feels at home here, feels that they belong, feels that they have a part to play. We need to be able to go around our community doing good, culture making all over our towns, building deeper relationships with those other churches that are like us. We need our next generation of Rons and Daphne's, of Dick Richardson's, who are going to go and say, actually, I found a community and I've heard God say, I need to let my light shine here. I need to plant a church. I need to plant a congregation. I need to let God's light shine here. We need a bigger vision, and we need a bigger vision for ourselves. We need to say, what's our vision? What do I want for my life? I need to make a choice. Because I can choose to bimble my way through my life. I can choose to be defined by what I own, by the job that I have, by my family. I can choose to be defined by my bank balance. Or I can choose to be defined by the fact that I follow Jesus wholeheartedly, sold out, totally in. I choose to be part of a movement of people that has been building for 2,000 years, following Jesus, allowing his light to shine through us, to shine through them, to shine through me. I am prepared to stake my colours to the mast and let that be who I am. Wherever that takes me, whatever that costs me, no matter how hard that is at times, no matter which friendships I lose, no matter what that means for my bank balance, or my possessions, or where I live, or anything like that, I am in. What's your vision this morning? Where do you want to go this morning? You see, I want to leave you with a bit of a question. Are you all in? Are you all in? Or perhaps I could rephrase it. I'm going to rephrase it like this. Which are you? Which are you going to choose to be? Are you going to choose to be a culture maker? Which we all are, whether we like it or not. Or are you going to be part of a story maker? Part of God's story, part of being part of, you know, sharing that authorship with him, going out into the world around you and helping to change people's stories, helping to bring people to know Jesus, helping them to see that light, to be transformed, to have that change in their life. What do you choose to be in 2018? Culture maker like everybody else, or a story maker? I know what I want to be. I want to be part of a church of people who are creating people's, changing people's stories, rewriting narratives, left, right, and centre, saying, at the moment, your life looks like it's going down this path, but I know that with God's help, it could go down a totally different one, a totally better one. That's who I want to be. I want to be part of a church that changes everything for the better, that transforms our community, that reaches people who thought nobody would ever even bother to look at them, who reaches people who think that they don't need reaching, who reaches people who think they've got everything sussed, and people who think they've got everything lost, because everybody needs Jesus. So as we think about partnership, and over the next 5 weeks we're going to be thinking about it more, we're going to be looking at these three strands of things that are really core to who we are as a church, that we are a church where everyone can belong, where everyone invites, and where everyone can grow. But I want to leave you with this challenge, direct from the mouth of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Your light has come, but only you can choose to arise. We're going to take communion in just a moment, and I'm going to pray. But I really want you to think, are you in? Are you all in? And later on, as we have an opportunity to sign that sheet and decide whether we're in, whether we're partnering with this church, partnering with God, actually, this is our moment. It's time to make a decision, time to choose where we're going. So let me pray. Father God, you are the most incredible God. You are great. You are awesome. You are beyond our biggest dreams and our wildest imaginations. You created the earth and everything in it, and yet you choose to give us this opportunity to partner with you in the work that you do, to partner with you in the rescue of the world, to partner with you in transforming lives and communities and nations and the whole world. Thank you. What a privilege. What an honor. I, for one, choose to say that I'm in. I want to follow you to the ends of the earth, no matter the cost, no matter the losses, no matter the hardships. Amen.